Welcome to episode 26 of Pull Up with Miles and Owen. We're back with yet another terrific guest, an Athletes Unlimited standout that was just named this year's Defensive Player of the Year after setting an AU record with 28 block shots. She finished second in the league with 25 steals. She's a 2022 lottery pick out of Louisville, and she's played for the Indiana Fever, the Minnesota Lynx. She's getting ready for her second training camp with the Washington Mystics. And maybe most importantly, she's a New Yorker like me and Owen, so we'll definitely get into that a little bit. Emily Angstler, thank you so much for pulling up with us.
Absolutely.
We wanted to start actually talking about last year, last offseason for you, because you played in France last winter and you had that experience. But what was it that then put AU on your radar? And who was it that brought you on board? We've heard a couple of people from the players committee bringing people on board, but we wanted to hear about your journey to AU.
Well, in all honesty, I planned on going back overseas. I got hurt in July, and I didn't find out about like needing surgery till around August. So I had surgery in September, and I didn't clear to play until like a week or two before Athletes Unlimited started. So no, you know, hate to them. I think it's a great league, and I would have thought about it, but it was kind of my only option basketball-wise in the moment. But I'm really grateful that it was, because it's obviously an amazing experience and such a up-and-coming league. But that is the truth to exactly why. But I've heard good things about it from a couple of people, a couple of pro W players who talked to me about it, and I asked them to put in a good word, and, you know, hopefully they would take me on, and they did. So I've been grateful about that.
How has that process been for you and just getting back to the point where you feel comfortable to get on the court and play?
Yeah, it wasn't like the longest journey in the world, but it felt like it. I got back within 5 to 6 months, and 4.5 to 5.5 months. But it was definitely like, I've never had surgery. I've never been hurt to that extent before. And previously, the year before, going from France to, I had hurt my back badly too. So it was just like back-to-back injuries, and I've never had pain or injury in college. So I was like, wow, like, man, my body's tired clearly or something. But it was very frustrating. I had gotten cut that year, then I got hurt. So it was just a lot of downs. And when I got home, I was very happy to be home with my family, though. And a close coach of mine asked me to come coach high school basketball while I was rehabbing right nearby the school that they actually sent me to. So I actually made it into such a good journey from when I look back on it. Like, I don't even remember really like being hurt. I just remember working really hard for like 5 months straight and coaching these girls. And the next time I blinked, I was playing again. So it was a good journey.
To have been pro for just two full W seasons now, but there's really not a lot of letdown time at all when you go from the tournament to the draft to, okay, now you've got to move everything to Indiana. And then, you know, you play the W season, go overseas. Then, like you talked about, injuries and rehab. You've been through a lot, even in a short amount of time. So what have you learned the most about yourself, either on the court or off the court in that time?
Yeah, I definitely did too much. Like, I would say coming out of a Final Four, specifically going straight, I would say I went back to Louisville for 3 days before I went to the draft, or 4 days. And then going from the draft directly to training camp, it was insane. And then the W season is very, you know, obviously you play a long college season, but it's not as compacted. And it was just really hard on the body, even when you don't play that much, honestly, just to travel and training and, you know, trying to prove yourself. And then going home for 2 weeks and going straight to France, like, I regret that. And if I had any advice to give anyone, I would say maybe, obviously go make your money, but maybe take that first off season off and then go overseas, because it was just way too much. It was way, and I went into a really difficult league. It was very physical league. But I will say, obviously, you learn from it. You learn from it. I've learned a lot. I think this is probably my most focused time now. Like, when it comes to my body, staying healthy, just focusing on basketball only. So I'm grateful for the lessons that I learned. But that would be the advice I'd give out for that. I've spoke to numerous people about that, actually, because I've heard of so many people getting hurt throughout that journey. So if we can avoid that, you know, we should, because we want to have long pro careers.
Yeah, we've seen the number of injuries, it feels like, in the women's game especially, go up these last couple of years. And I think a lot of it gets ascribed to that, right? The nonstop basketball that you're playing. But just not a tough question here, but we've seen you really ball out for AU this last month. Are you feeling as good as you felt heading into this Mystics camp?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely grateful for the confidence AU has brought to me. I was able to showcase my offensive side and my defensive side and meet a bunch of different players who I'm so grateful for. I would say that shoulder-wise, like, it can always be better. I was talking to someone who had the same injury. He plays baseball, and he was kind of just like, it's been 2 years now for him. And he was like, I always tell people, I'm okay, but it's not the same. And, like, sadly, that's kind of how I feel as well. It still gets weak, et cetera. But I will say, like, I'm definitely at a really good point to get back into it. So I would say in the next couple of months, I think I'd be even more better, honestly, especially being with a W team like the Mystics, who have such good medical, because that's something I remember about them last season. So I'm excited about that. I do think I'm in a good place. I do think it could be a little better, though. Obviously, you know, it's only been 6.5 months, but
I think it's notable that the number of people we've talked to who have spoke to that time crunch of, especially if you go on a long run in the tournament and the turnaround. I spoke to Jackie Young a few years ago, and she was talking about how they lost in the national championship to Baylor, and then it took 24 hours and she declared for the draft. That's the amount of time we're talking about here. So I think it's important to highlight that because, you know, you guys go through the gauntlet there over those few months.
Yeah, I think it now the draft is the 15th of April, but ours was sooner, I'm pretty sure, like a lot sooner. Yeah. So that's good for them. They get a couple weeks at home, and that's I'm grateful that they get that now.
Well, it also feels like, I think the rule is what, you get 48 hours or something that you have to declare. So it's this emotional high and low, right? That you're constantly, I can only imagine competing at that level where every game is do or die. And then you also have to be thinking about your future at the same time while the present is so big for you. So how do you remember that experience?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I was just thinking also for me, like, especially because the NIL, that stuff wasn't too big. Like, it just started my senior year. So, like, I didn't have an agent. I didn't do much marketing. I was not only declaring for the draft, I had agents coming at me, like, in the hotel going to play for the Final Four. So I'm just like, dude, I just want to play this game and win. Like, we worked hard to get here. I don't want to have to do it. Honestly, this is just it's just what we have to do. I know that. And again, this isn't me trying to sound ungrateful, but I was just trying to play with Louisville and win and focus on what I was doing in that moment. And it was kind of hard to do that with all of that. And some people embrace that. Personally, like, it was a lot for me. And so what I guess what I'm trying to say is a lot of people have already signed with agents, or they were maybe a little more well-known. I obviously, like, my fame came more from Louisville. Fame's a strong word, but my known to get drafted came from Louisville. So everything was super fast for me. Those last couple months all kind of, like, came in a swivel. But I had a lot of good people around me, so it worked out. But it was very overwhelming, I will say. It was very overwhelming. Obviously where I am today, you know, means everything was worth it.
I mean, not a lot of people can say that they've played in the Final Four. So that's already, and as I'm sure March is also a weird thing for you to be watching from the sidelines, having gone through it and experienced it. But what's your favorite memory from that season or from that run with Louisville?
Yeah, that run was really fun. We were just, I would say favorite memory. Oh, that's tough. It was really a good year. We did, you know, honestly, even though one of my favorite memories, it was sad, but it was good. We had lost to Miami, and I was upset because I've been playing the ACC for 4 years. I really wanted an ACC title more than anything, and I thought this was going to be our year. And our first game in, we lost to Miami on a buzzer beater shot. They played us so hard all season. It was a great game. But we were pissed. Like, not that it was they were a great team. We just were upset. We lost the first round. Like, what are we going to do about it now? Our next goal is Final Four. And, like, when I tell you, I've never seen a team, like, come together and lock in so quick. Like, it was insane. Like, it didn't matter. We were all friends, too, which maybe made that help. But it didn't matter what off the court was. It didn't matter how we felt about that game or the, like, staff versus player. Like, Walt kind of looked at us and he was like, either y'all need to buy in as a group and, like, tell me to go fuck off. Sorry to curse. Or, like, buy in with me. Like, either buy in with one cause. Like, I don't care if it's you guys against us or do you just buy into our, even if you don't believe what I'm saying, buy into it. And we all just kind of looked at each other on a player meeting, and we were like, let's just lock in. Let's just buy in. It's what? 3 weeks of just maybe less of just us locking into whatever this man says, run through the wall. If he says run through the wall, because I really believe that he was going to get us to Final Four as much as I believe that we were going to get us to Final Four. So that's one of my favorite memories, because I think a lot of us can recall that time we sat in the locker room and just were like, yo, we want to do this. Like, can we just do this? So a lot of hard work came from those 2 weeks from that team.
I love that. The low point being the catalyst for then the run that you go on. Goosebumps over here, because that's really awesome. Just being in just the whole tournament setup too, where it's just basketball is not really a sport that lends itself to just one game and then move on and figure out a new opponent 2 days later. And oftentimes not someone you've seen before. So it's just anyone who kind of has gone through that, just the whiplash of one experience to the next is just fascinating to me.
Yeah, facts.
We wanted to go back a little bit, pre-college days, and ask you about growing up playing basketball in New York City. And was there a moment or a period in time growing up where you realized that maybe you could go somewhere with this?
So I played CYO in about, I think my mom made me wait till I was in like second or third grade, but it was all boys. We didn't have a female team, and obviously we were young, so it was possible. I think that's where my grit started. Like I, a couple of them were really close friends of mine, but when I tell you, like, looking back, and you can ask many of my family, my friends, like it would struggle just to get the ball. Like, it didn't matter how good I was. Like, they didn't want me. Yeah. It was a fight with my own team to get the ball to score until like a couple years of it. And I think like they started to trust me, and then like I moved up a year, we won a championship, and one of my best friends played, and like we just got along more. But it was a battle. Like, it was a battle. I was like, oh, is everything gonna be a battle with this game? You know what I mean? Just to like get the ball for my teammates, you know, to help us win. So that's where it started, really. And then when I got old enough, I grew up on Roosevelt Island, and I played a lot of street ball. And for a while, I was too young to really let me on the court. But then there came a point where I hit like my teens in high school, and they started letting me on. And we just played so much street ball, like every Saturday and Sunday, on nights during the weekday if I could, whether it was cold or hot, like it really didn't matter. And it was just so much fun. And it wasn't even just Rose Island. You had the Astoria Parks, Brooklyn, et cetera, anywhere you went, really. Like New York City seriously is a mecca for basketball when it comes to that. But it was fun. It was just meeting new people and competing and talking shit and all that kind of stuff. Like it's just what made it really fun for me. I would say when I hit like seventh or eighth grade, I was with the AU team called Queens Express, who I was with for a long time, and I'm very grateful because they're kind of my first AU experience. But I started to get like, I didn't really play a lot younger on their team, and first time with girls. And when I hit that age, I got like a lot better. Like, it just kind of like, I was now playing a lot, and now I want to go to Christ the King, and I got into Christ the King, and I was doing well for them. And like, my coaches were just like, yo, you have a little bit of Division I interest. Like, you can really make this work. Like, I think you could be a McDonald's All-American. And then Christ King, I left Christ King. I went to St. Francis Prep. And at that time, they were the worst team in the league. And we didn't win any championships there, but like, I had to sit out. I didn't get to play my sophomore year of high school. And then the next 2 years, we faced them in the championship my senior year, Christ the King. And we ended up losing, but that was the farthest that team has gotten in a long time. And I don't know, like, that was kind of when I realized, like, teams were offering scholarships, and I was like, all right, like, maybe I can, like, at least go to school for free. Like, I love this game. And my point is, it took a really long time until I thought I would even go pro. Like, it just, a lot of people in my ear saying, like, you could do it. A lot of people in my ear saying, you don't have what it takes. You know what I'm saying? So I think Walls was a big, big person that really made me believe it. And then when I got there, I really felt it. So it took a long time. I don't think I believed I was going to go pro till I was like 2 months away from the WNBA draft, honestly.
Wow. That's amazing. You led me kind of perfectly into my next question, which was going to be, you mentioned the grit. What is it about New York City hoopers that's different? What are some of the identifying characteristics of a New York City basketball player?
I would say, like, I know everybody talks a little like that, but like our level of it is so different. Like, you could go on the court and talk crazy and all that stuff, and like the moment you walk off the court, they're your dogs. Like, I think that's one big difference, because I've played in other states and they still hate you off the court. Like, they're still pissed off or whatever the situation is. But like here, I don't know, they also never took it easy on me. Like, I've been to other city states, and like when I first play or walk in, it's like they're chilling until I start hooping, and it's like, oh shit. But here, like, I'll never forget, I had a couple buddies I got on. I was like 14. They're swatting my shots, like left and right. They don't care how old I was. They're laughing. They're like, it's just gonna get you better. And I'm pissed. Like, I'm frustrated. I'm like, screw these guys, man. I knew them, half of them too, so that probably helped. But they were older, you know. And by the time I was like 18, like, I was way better. I was way stronger. I was way older. We were competing way harder. But I don't know. I think that they just really don't. They don't discriminate. Like, they don't care who you are, what gender you are. Like, they're going in. They think they're just as pro as the next NBA guy. Like, they don't. So that's one thing about New York I always thought was cool. And that's that grit, I guess. But it's also just, it gave me a lot of confidence going into college. So
I love that you said that, because I grew up in Brooklyn. So I remember the parks I used to go to when I was growing up. And it was the kind of thing where you'd show up, Marine Park, you'd have to show up at like 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday because everything would pack out. And I remember people would bring coolers and they would bring chairs and they would just like line up on the side of the court and just call next. So you were like, when you're out there, you know, you can't lose, because then you're not going to play again for like another 3 hours. And you're right. Just everyone doing shit the whole day. And I love it. I miss it.
All day. Yeah. But where are you guys from in Queens and New York?
So I'm from,
you're from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn. So I'm from like Midwood, Flatbush. And then I lived down in Coney Island for a bit. And now, yeah, we're both. Yeah, we're both still in Brooklyn now, because you're in Crown Heights now, right, Owen?
Yeah, I was born in Cobble Hill, moved to Maine early on, and made my way back to Crown Heights.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I love a fellow New York City. You know, I feel like people don't really understand us unless you're from New York City.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I think that part of it is because we at least have the reputation for being super abrasive. So people don't want to ask questions and they're going to make assumptions. And I think we're also very happy with like whatever assumptions people make, because it makes us sound even tougher than we think we are.
That's true.
Just in terms of women's basketball also in the city, at what point was the W on your radar? Because there aren't a lot of cities in the US that have had consistent WNBA teams. Did you watch the Liberty growing up? Did you go to the Garden for NBA games or anything?
Yeah, so I would say it wasn't like a crazy amount of times or anything like that, but my dad made a good effort to like take me to numerous sports. Like, he loves baseball, so like Mets, we're Mets fans, but like even Yankees game, I went to a couple with him. And then basketball-wise, I've been to a couple of Knicks games with him older. But when I was younger, when Tina was playing for them in the Madison Square still, before they went to like Westchester, then back to Brooklyn, we got to see her play in person a couple times. And like even Epiphany, I'm pretty sure, was on the roster then. And so I got to see them play a couple times. It wasn't too many. I was pretty young as well. But like, I'm grateful that he did that for me, because I feel like it's kind of full circle. Like, I ended up playing my first year against Tina, and she came up to me and said, what's up? Like, that's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? And it definitely gave me someone to look up to. She also went to Christ the King and stuff like that. So just a Queens kid, you know, and it makes you feel relatable to somebody. Like, you can do it. They came from your hood, your neighborhood, whatever you want to call it. But so I was grateful he did that for me. I will say it took me a while. It's not something I really should be saying a lot. I don't watch too much basketball, honestly, until things hit like playoffs, March Madness, even for the men. Like, it's not a women's thing. It's just, I don't really like to watch. I like to take a break when I'm away from it. But so I learned more about the W in college, like detailed stuff. And obviously now I play in it, I know plenty about the WNBA. But I wasn't like a high school kid who knew a lot too much. I was a little more focused on college in high school. And then when I got to college, I was more focused on the W.
No, that totally makes sense, especially if you're living it every day. I think that you need like an escape, a little bit of an escape from watching hoops. And that totally makes sense. And I mean, you brought up Piff, and I to age myself a little bit, I was in high school when she was in high school and had her 100-point game. So like last year she came to the Liberty, we cover the Liberty in the New York market, and getting to cover her after that was a tough thing for me to like compartmentalize, being a journalist and also someone who I was like, I remember you as a hooper when I was still thinking that I might play past high school, which didn't last very long. But before we move off the New York questions, I have to ask you, do you have a favorite pizza spot that like when you come back to New York that you go to every time?
Yeah, it's in Maspeth Roses.
Oh man,
but specifically the Maspeth.
Well, so now I'm gonna have to go out there, because I'm
Yeah, because there's one by Christ the King in technically Middle Village, I guess. But and then there's one in Astoria, but the Mass with Roses is my favorite pizza shop. It has like just cool, crazy like taco slice, Caesar salad slice, like kind of random, like non-normal slices of pizza, but I do love them. So
I mean that's going down. That's going on the list.
Yeah, it's fire.
I'm going to pull us back to AU for a second because we jumped off of that before I was ready to jump off of that because you pulled us in such awesome directions. But Defensive Player of the Year, the numbers that you put up at AU this year were phenomenal. And we had Izzy and Dory both actually on the pod a few weeks back. And I'd asked her because she was the first ever AU Defensive Player of the Year. And I asked her about what's different about playing AU style defensively than playing in the W or playing in college or things that are maybe more organized, because it feels to me anyway, like with the roster turnover, with changing schemes every week, that it would be more instinctual, like similar to a pickup style. So how did your game have to adapt playing AU as opposed to playing within a big defensive scheme that you get to practice, you know, weeks on end before games?
Yeah, so I'm going to put it like this. It's honestly easier to defend in AU just because it's not about who's playing in it. It's just as competitive. It's AU is more NBA coded. So, like, it's more – exactly. And you're not playing with these people for too long. So, like, there's not too much connection. There's more room for mistake in that aspect. But also, like, you're not running as many plays. Again, you have two practices to play these games. Like, so as a defensive player, there's just room for, like – more turnovers. Like I even just like guarding, like three quartering the bigs, like I noticed a lot of times, and they would clean it up after a couple though, like obviously, but I would just notice that the passes inside were just soft, like they weren't as connected with each other. Obviously they shouldn't be, they might not have played with each other before, but that's the stuff that made my life easier as a defensive player. Like I was like, oh, I'm taking that, like before she even threw it, I was like, this is deal, just be prepared to go opposite side, or like blocking shots. I mean, that just kind of comes with like timing and trying to really not foul, et cetera, stuff like that. But so that's a little different. That kind of just flowed well this season for me, honestly. And I'm grateful that it did because I'm going to try to bring it into the W. But like, yeah, I just think, and I don't want to use the word, it's not sloppier. It's just, again, more offensive heavy. People are trying to go a little more one-on-one. So if I know that you're not passing that out, it makes my job a lot easier. I'm going to know to stay down. I'm going to know to get. You know what I mean? But it's also a lot more for foul trouble, though, because if I'm trying to guard one-on-one every single time, so you're going to foul eventually. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's just my personal – that's my personal opinion defensively on that.
Well, it worked. It worked.
It worked for me.
It sure did. One thing I'm always fascinated about asking great defensive players is a little bit about the process and how you improve on defense, because it is so easy to – you know, go into the gym and just get shots up and work on your shot and your offense. But defensively, you know, people attribute it to different things. Some people say it's about watching film or effort or being in great shape. Behind the scenes, what do you do to improve and work on your defense?
Yeah, I would say a part of it is definitely being in shape to a certain extent. Whether that's laterally, because you're good at just sitting down and defending somebody, which is probably the hardest part of the defense. Or just your ability to jump high, block shots, et cetera. I would say, like, the timing aspect that comes in my game is definitely, like, just kind of what you're born with. Like, what you have growing up. Like, that's just something I don't really think is too well taught. You just have it or you don't, in my personal opinion. But I would say something that I do in training. So whether I'm working out with another pro player or my trainers here at home, when we get to, like, our one-on-ones or our twos, like, I'm not just focused on scoring on them. When I'm on defense, like, I'm working on my defensive game every single time. I'm working on getting rebounds and boxing out. I'm working on staying down, especially when I'm playing my guy trainers, because I know that they're physically stronger. I know that sometimes they're quicker. So, like, this is the time for me to really – if I can lock him up, oh, I'm locking up the next guard down the road. You know what I'm saying? So that's something I focus on. Like, for example, I was in the gym with another pro player in Texas. We went up and we worked out, and we wanted to play we were playing ones after like our workout, but in a controlled setting. And I was playing defense really just for her offensively to get better because she was a guard. But then I was like, matter of fact, like Let me work on my defense because you're a point guard, so you probably should be blowing by me. So let me see if I can sit down and guard you. Like, it's something that I think you need to go into your workouts and just be willing to want to do. You know what I mean? And then in a controlled team setting, they're going to teach you how they want you to play their defense. And now it's up to you to listen. You're right, to watch film and to do it in the best way that you, with as much energy and hustle that you would do it in as a game, so that it translates properly.
It's cool to hear you talk starting guards too, because I think we see this in the W a lot. Like, you might be playing the four, you might be playing the five, you're going to switch out onto a guard, and you got to be able to stay in front with the talent in the WNBA is not an easy task. So that's something that makes a lot of sense, where you'd want to, okay, this is a chance for me to kind of work on that aspect that people might not think about a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that the highest compliment that someone could have paid an AU this season was to have Leash keep drafting them above again and again, because Alicia was just dominant all throughout the season, and you were with her the first 3 weeks, and it's hard to get that kind of continuity in AU. But when you looked at the roster she was putting together week in and week out, it was that defensive, that hustle first, that kind of identity, which is what you also play with, was what. And then last week you find your final week of the season, you play with KB, and by the way, you killed it on the boards last week, and you were setting AU records there on, like, rebounding for her. Those are both a couple of players that, as far as I know, you haven't played with before, right? Before this. So are they both Kirsten and Alicia? Do you feel like you were able to make some friendships and learn a lot about other people's games that were not in your locker rooms with the W at any point?
100%. That's one of my favorite parts about the Athletes Unlimited experience. So for Leash, yeah, that was dope. I was grateful that she kept drafting me. I felt comfortable with her. I felt like she was a great captain. First of all, just being on the court watching her cook and drop 40 is just like poetry. So she was just very fun to be around, and calm and collected, and kind of just let me play my game. Like, she never asked too much of me. She never asked me not to shoot. Like, it was, you know, I'm just go hoop. Like, you know, we're fine. Like, do whatever you need to do. And like, it was just cool. I'm younger, and I'm not that kind of player who's like super voiced out either. So like, I'm going to lock in and follow you if like you show some leadership. So I really appreciate it. I love playing with Lee. She was great. And yeah. So when KB was captain, I was like, I've never played with KB before in my life. Like, we'll see what happens. But I like, we were also in the same position, so I wasn't sure what we were going to do. And the one thing I always liked about watching KB is I hate guarding her. So I was like, finally I can be on the same team as her, because I'm tired of guarding her. She shoots the three well, so I can't step back. And then when you step up, you know, it's hard to guard someone really close to them. She is always moving. So much energy that KB brings to the game that I appreciate, because I think I bring a lot of energy to the game. So we meshed really well, because she's a stronger offensive player. I brought some defense, and like, obviously she could still play defense. I could get a bucket. So it just worked way better than, like, I don't know. I just didn't know how it was going to go. And she was also just a really cool captain. She brought a lot of energy. She was so fun to play with. And we as a group worked amazingly. But I've gotten really lucky for my AU experience. I was on a lot of great teams with a lot of great vets and people. And I got to build relationships that, you know, you build relationships in the W, but at AU, you're in the same hotel, you're in the same locker room. Like, these are real relationships. I just got a text from someone like 10 minutes ago, just sharing the love about us being friends. Now, it was just such a nice thing to see and hear. And these are also coming from such great players. And so I'm really grateful for my experience with Athletes Unlimited.
That's awesome.
It's really cool to hear these stories of the camaraderie that's built over that, you know, month-long stretch. Looking forward here, what are you excited about in entering training camp with the Mystics this season?
The main thing I'm excited about is one thing I rave about them is last year I did a training camp with them for 2 weeks, just a training camp. Like, it wasn't like I was going in there to play any game. Like, I got better in 2 weeks than I did my first year as a pro basketball player, just with them. So I'm super excited to just get better. Like, whether I make that roster or I don't, I know those 2 weeks will get me better. And if I make a roster, I know I have now whatever amount of months to get better. And I also just think my game fit with their system well. I don't know exactly how it will be this season. It's obviously going to be a building year. But it fit with their system well. They never put a lock on what I could do. They let me play, you know, just as long as I brought the energy and what I bring to the table. So they had a lot of vets that are still there, like Ariel and Sykes, and they were really good people to me coming in. I mean, I kind of knew Britt, but from Cuse, but I didn't know too many of them, and they were all really nice to me, and I appreciated that as a younger player who just got cut from a roster, you know? So I'm excited about that, but mainly just getting better with them. I love the way they train. I love their medical, and I felt like health-wise I was better, and on the court I was better.
They're also such a defensive-coded team too, which I think is where you kind of excel also. I know it's very, very limited reps, but playing alongside Shakira Austin, what is that experience like? And how does that help you if you're at the four and she's at the five? How does that help you take more chances even, because you know that she's there to clean up anything?
Yeah, true. Well, Kira, I've known Kira for a while, so it's cool because she's just a cool person in general and another friendly face. But on the court, I will say, yeah, so it's cool because I wouldn't say facilitator, but I'm a decent passer as a four. So you know you're getting the ball to Shakira, and it's a bucket. Like, she catches everything. She finishes pretty much everything. So she's really fun to play with, too. She cleans up the board so you don't feel like you need to grab 20. You know what I mean? So she's very fun to play with. I had a good time with her last season, and I'm excited to see her again.
I mean, we saw you running the fast break, throwing behind the back pass. You are a facilitator. We saw that at AU. So you could bring that now. Before we get you out of here, last question for you. We found a video from the Fever's Facebook page a few years back where you did a minute where you were answering questions. And one thing that you mentioned was that you love to read. And when you talk about not having a lot of downtime, and I feel like having something off the court that's an active thing that you can do without moving, because you could just focus and lock in, is such a healthy thing and something that Owen and I are constantly trying to like nudge each other to do because we get locked into basketball too much. So what is one of your favorite books of all time, or what are you reading right now? Is there something you go back to?
Yeah, so you know, it's sad. I read a lot more when I'm playing because of the travel. So these last 6 months, I haven't read a lot, actually. I can't lie to you. But I was reading this book. I actually got it from TikTok, but it was like an overthinker's book. It was supposed to help with like anxiety and overthinking and all that stuff. I forgot the name, but I am technically reading that at the moment. I haven't gotten too far, but that is a book that I will continue to try to finish, and it's been really cool. I'm not one for self-help books, I can't lie. I love fiction, and I love like scary novels and just like romance. So self-help is kind of like, boring. But this one is cool, and I'm going to try it. That's like my new wave on the reading access. But I love Colleen Hoover. She's been a big romance one for me. So like me and Lexi Hall, we read a lot of those books my first year. And then we got Queen Egbo on them. And a couple other W players, actually. So sometimes we'll like randomly text about what Colleen Hoover book we read and which one we haven't. I think I just finished Verity. And I'm on – I'm reading another one. There's so many of them. But my favorite book of all time, it's an oldie. It's something you'd read in high school, but it's called Tuesdays with Morrie. It's one of my favorite books. I can't remember the author's name. That's one thing I'm bad at. That's why I hate those questions. But it's a great book.
It's on my shelf inside. I don't remember the author off the top of my head either.
You know the book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that book. It's one of my childhood favorites. And I read it a couple times, actually. But just the meaning / like simplicity of it, I love that. So, and I have a couple like poetry books that I appreciate. My friend actually just recently bought me one, but I forget what that basic one that everyone has. It's like Bees, and I forget what it's called. I'll have to go back and look, but I do read a couple of those too. So
lost me on poetry, but the rest of it sounds awesome. I also just love that there's such range too, and that it is, yeah, as someone who doesn't read, I like go into a lot of fiction stuff because I love to just kind of get lost in other worlds. So I love that is just kind of like your sphere to get away. And covering the Liberty the last few years, Jocelyn Willoughby had started a book club with a bunch of the players. And that was something we were always following up with her on. So there's a contingent cool out there for you. Yeah.
It's a semi what we kind of did my first year. Like we low-key had a group chat, just like a reading group chat. We would just update each other. But that's cool. I like that. Cause I mean, we don't get too much downtime, but I feel like we do. It's mm-hmm. like you want to get through this flight, or you want to get through this random 2 hours before the game, or you want to. And reading's like peaceful. We play such a hectic, like neurotic, adrenaline filled sport, and you just kind of want to chill. So it's a good, even if you don't necessarily like to read, like I promise you, you'll find something out there for yourself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And unfortunately, you know better than most that sometimes you will be sitting in the airport for longer than you want to be when you're between W games. So
for sure,
having a book or two on you at all times feels essential.
Yeah, facts.
Emily, thank you so much. This is awesome. It was great to get to know you a little bit, to watch you play this last month at AU. And we're excited to see what comes from this Mystics team, because we have maybe more questions than we have answers about what that team is going to look like. It's kind of a new era, but that also means there are tons of opportunities out there. And I'm excited to see you. I'm sure you go into any room and you're going to make the most of those opportunities. So thank you so much, Emily, for pulling up with us.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.